This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Top Shelf Sports Talk. You're hanging out in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.
Well, another eventful week with the New York Jets. We bring in Dan Lieberfeld of Jets Confidential. The Jets moving on from their GM, Joe Douglas, which really isn't a surprise, Dan, when you consider that he didn't have his contract renewed and he was probably on borrowed time anyways. But this is also from an owner who, before the season started, thought that this was the best roster that they've accumulated in the last 25 years. So, you know, what do you make of all of this, and what's next for this team here as they struggle through the rest of the season?
Well, I think what's next for this team is a bonding session, a trip to Joe's Brooklyn Pizza. I think that could really bring them together.
Right. See, Dan, like, you know, Joe figured out Rochester is the land of enchantment, and he moved from the city up here. So, and someday you will too.
Yes, I love it. But seriously, answering your question, the last two games were absolute debacles on defense. When you look at the fact that Kyler Murray looked like Peyton Manning against them, just throwing dime after dime to wide open receivers up and down the field. And then against the Indianapolis Colts, they made Anthony Richardson look like Tom Brady, just throwing a wide open receivers. And the last quarter of the game, the Jets had the lead. And you talk about a quarterback, Anthony Richardson, who had been benched 2 weeks earlier, entered the game with a 44.4 completion percentage, which I've never seen on the NFL level. And he takes the Colts on two 70-yard drives to win the game, TD drives in the fourth quarter. So when you see outings like that, something has to give, and the owner decided to fire the GM. And like you said, his contract is up after the year, and there's no way he was going to come back.
So, Dan, we'll get to Rodgers and where the Jets go from here for a second, but you brought up an interesting point here because, our perspective up here in Western New York, the Jets, physical defense, that's a team that gives the Bills problems, and that defense, and Robert Saleh, what happened to the Jets' defense, Dan, or was this just a team that many from the outside just kind of overvalued on that side of the ball?
They absolutely overvalue people on the outside, the Jets' defense entering this season. They were bad against the run last year, and they're bad against the run this year. It's a scheme that needs to be changed that Robert Saleh installed. It's too static, basically lining up the same way down after down. And if you're a good offensive coordinator and you're a good quarterback, you don't even need to be a good quarterback as long as your play call is dialing up great plays, because Anthony Richardson wasn't exactly lighting it up before the Jet game. You can find holes in this defense. And the other problem is, during the week that the trade deadline was, I know the Bills didn't trade for these players, but Bills' run defense was not good. They go out and get Jefferson, and they go out and get Jordan Phillips, because they say, we got to fix this. Jets did nothing at the trade deadline or even bringing in players, and their defense was broken. So I don't know if the owner tied Joe Douglas's hands, but there was just too much dragging of the feet. And also, they never, under Douglas and Saleh, who was fired before Douglas, they never benched guys. They never cut guys when things weren't going well. It was It was a passive approach that I never understood.
Well, it feels like the source of dysfunction, like it is with a lot of organizations, starts at the top. And Woody Johnson, if you believe the reports that you know he was involved in trying to get Aaron Rodgers benched after the Broncos loss. I mean, does anything change with the Jets as long as Woody is controlling things? Because I know when his brother was running things while he was at the UK, things at least felt like they maybe were getting a little bit better. Correct me if I'm wrong on that. What happens here with Jets ownership in the future?
Yeah, Christopher Johnson, who was filling in for his brother during Woody Johnson's time as the ambassador to the United Kingdom, was more of a hands-off owner. Now, you could say the results weren't great, but he hired Joe Douglas. So when Joe Douglas came in, and Joe Douglas was a highly regarded GM candidate who won rings in Baltimore, and he won a ring in Philadelphia. So he's a guy that was on a lot of teams' radar as a GM candidate. So he comes in, he thinks he's going to be able to run things in an unfettered fashion, and then a couple of years in, Trump loses, and Woody Johnson comes back from the United Kingdom and takes over and is very, very hands-on. And Joe Douglas did not seem like a happy camper the last couple of years working under Woody Johnson. So I think he wanted to get out of here, and Woody made it happen sooner than later. So I think if Woody goes back to an ambassadorship, I think, you look at GM or coaching candidates, I think it would be a different landscape than if Woody is the owner. The best case scenario is the way the Bills have it now, the way the Chiefs have it now, the way the Ravens have it now. Good ownership that hires people they trust to run the football operation, whether it's a head coach or a GM, or like in Denver, where the Walmart family hired Sean Payton and they got out of the way. That's the only Jets' only hope for success is for Woody, Christopher, whoever, hire a good GM, hire a good coach, or hire someone who'll handle both and get out of the way.
Dan, it seems like a major rebuild when you kind of consider it's not easy to find a quarterback here. Do you see a scenario in which Aaron Rodgers is on the Jets in 2025?
Well, I see. Maybe I'm in the minority, but I don't see Aaron Rodgers as the problem. I really don't. I think the problem is he's not the Aaron Rodgers of his heyday, so he can't put a team on his back like Josh Allen can at times with the Bills, where there could be weaknesses on the team, but he's so good that he can help the team overcome those weaknesses. Aaron Rodgers is not that quarterback anymore. He used to be in Green Bay. However, you could win with Aaron Rodgers if you have a good defense, which the Jets don't. If you have a good offensive line, which the Jets don't. So to me, if you look at Aaron Rodgers, if they have the right supporting cast around him, I think they can win with him. So maybe whoever the GM is, whoever the head coach is, says, you know what? We're going to bring Aaron Rodgers back another year, and we're going to roll with him again because we don't think he was the problem. He's made a lot of good plays this year under circumstances where the play breaks down and, you know, he dumps the ball to somebody and turns nothing into something. So, once again, not the quarterback he was in his halcyon days, but a guy you can win with the right supporting cast. So I'm not totally going to sit here and say they're going to move on from him. It all depends on who they hire.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What kind of guy are they, do you think they're going to hire? Because I think about the way this is all played out very publicly. And if you're a GM, I know that there are only 32 of these jobs, Dan, and that somebody will eventually be in there. But what kind of person are you looking at for a GM or a head coaching job with the Jets? Are you looking for the veteran who's been there before, somebody like a Rex Ryan, or are you looking for somebody that's new and upcoming and that just wants their shot to be a head coach in the NFL or a GM, a first-time GM?
No, they can't go first time this time. You know, because they've gone down that road too many times with the hot shot coordinator on one side of the ball, and it hasn't worked. So they need to get somebody who perhaps is an older coach, who has some head coaching experience before, and is an alpha dog who's willing to bench people. I mean, they just will not bench people. I mean, they won't cut people or bench people. And that goes back to Douglas Sala, and now you can fast forward to the new GM. Well, Phil Savage hasn't done anything yet, but Jeff Ulbrich, when he was with Douglas the last few weeks, they've had all these problems, and they won't make lineup changes. So they need someone who's willing to bench guys or cut guys if things aren't going well, and they need a experience. They can't go with the young hotshot coordinator, let's say like Shane Steichen, who is going to call plays on one side of the ball with his head buried in his play sheet and not take a 30,000-foot view on what's going on in the game. They can't do that this time. They need an alpha dog leader who's going to run the whole team and make the tough decisions that have to be made and lead the Jets, you know, out of the desert. So that's the kind of guy they need, whether it's as the GM or the head coach. You know, a name that comes up is Monken out of Baltimore, the offensive coordinator. Keep in mind, he was a head coach, albeit on the college level at Southern Mississippi, but he was a head coach. They need someone who's been a head coach before. They don't need a young coordinator with his face buried in his play sheet.
Dan, you know who you're describing. You know he's putting his hand up in the air. Would you sign up? Is there anything legit? Rex Ryan 2.0 with the Jets.
Well, he's another guy that, when did he ever bench people? No, that's not the way to go. With all due respect to Rex, they need a new approach. And the problem with Rex is maybe he's finally learned his lesson, but Rex did not learn his lesson going from the Jets to Buffalo, where he needed to change his staff, with all due respect to the men on that staff. But he brought his merry men to Buffalo and changed nothing. So maybe if Rex has learned his lesson and is willing to change things from his old approach, maybe you consider it, but probably not the way to go as far as where the Jets need to go from here.
What about Gruden?
Well, I would consider Gruden if you let him nowhere near any player personnel decisions. Rex, when you look at John Gruden, a good coach, a good play caller, horrendous player personnel guy. Horrendous. Just look at the Raiders draft. So if you bring in John Gruden and he is just focusing on coaching the team, maybe, but you can't let him anywhere near player personnel decisions with draft picks like Alex Leatherwood.
The Sanders family. You're going to be in a good position to trade up for Shador if you want. Is that even worth a consideration, Dan?
Well, I wouldn't do it because I think that Aaron Rodgers should be their quarterback next year. And you look at there's an agenda against Aaron Rodgers in the media. I've covered all these games in person, up close and personal, except the London game. I didn't go. I don't see him as the problem. I really don't. You know, you look at the Arizona game, he was leading the team down the field. They were kicking field goals, and their defense was so bad that Arizona scored a touchdown every time, and they fell way behind. But he was leading them down the field. In the Colts game, what do you want him to do? He gives them a lead twice in the fourth quarter, and they let a quarterback who was playing terribly go 70 yards on two TD drives, and they lose the game. So how is that Aaron Rodgers' fault? Once again, he deserves some of the blame, but he is the least of their problems as far as I'm concerned. I think
respectfully, I mean, look, yes, to your point, that certainly there are some in the media that push back for various reasons that are not football related, okay, but he is the 27th ranked quarterback when you're talking about QBR, but my point is, he's 41. You have an opportunity to look to the future here and Aaron Rodgers is not going to stick around here for a year, I would think, if you're going to spend a first-round pick on a quarterback, as probably you should.
Well, I think as one of his last years. It's a little different than when they picked Jordan Love in Green Bay, where Aaron was coming off two MVP awards, and he felt he had a lot of good football left. I don't think Aaron is sitting here, soon to be 41, thinking, I'm going to play another 4 years. So I could see a scenario if they pick somebody where the player sits, which most rookie quarterbacks should do, and Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback, or they think that Jordan Travis, who they picked last year out of Florida State, could be the heir apparent coming off that horrific broken leg his last year with the Seminoles, and he probably needs a year to sit, still recovering from that really bad broken leg, and he's the quarterback of the future. You know, and if Woody Johnson's becoming impatient at 77 years old because he wants a winner, you think he's going to win with a rookie quarterback next year? I mean, it's Shedeur Sanders. Who knows if he's the answer? Most of these rookies really struggle as rookies, and maybe Jaden Daniels is coming back to the pack a little bit now. Who knows? And, you know, Drake May is okay. Caleb Williams struggling. You think a 78-year-old Woody Johnson wants to go the rookie quarterback next year?
What about the other stars on this team? Guys that Joe Douglas was responsible for bringing in. Guys, I mean, you're not far removed with the Jets from having the offensive and defensive rookies of the year on the same roster in the same season. Are they salvageable here? Do they still show signs of life, or are they broken down and beaten down just because of where the Jets are as a team right now?
That's a great question, because you look in their eyes when you look at Sauce Gardner or you look at Garrett Wilson, and what's going on here and what has gone on for most of their careers, their young careers with the Jets, has been a lot of losing and a lot of dysfunction, and you could see it's taking a little life out of them, so to speak. So, yeah, you got to be worried about those guys a little bit. Sauce Gardner is not having a good year. Had a really bad game against the Colts last week. Wasn't great in Arizona. Maybe they're asking to play too much zone defense when he's a man-to-man guy. And Garrett Wilson is playing well, but, you know, you just look in their eyes and see what this is doing to him. A few games ago, they lost in Breece Hall, who's actually having a good year, the running back. He had a towel over his head in the locker room after the game. He was so dismayed by what happened. So, yeah, you got to be careful with young players when things are too dysfunctional, there's too much losing going on. It could irreparably damage them. And when you look at what's going on here, I'll give you an anecdote from the Bills, why Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean are so good at their jobs. You guys remember very well when Keon Coleman was drafted, he was kind of being a little bit too flamboyant, if you know what I'm saying. You know, with the first press conference and just some of the stuff he was doing, somebody talked to him. You guys can fill in the blanks here more than I could, because I'm not in Buffalo and Rochester. And he seemed to pull back. Would you agree with that?
Well, he got sat down the Monday night against Jacksonville. Like, what's something for being late? And all McDermott would said is he's going to learn from it or whatever. But hey, like, did that stuff ever go on with the Jets? I mean, that's the one example.
Yeah, he didn't start against Jacksonville.
No, they don't bench anybody here. Yeah. So here's my point. I noticed, and maybe I'm reading into too much, that when Keon's a great kid, this isn't about him, but early on, he was too much of a showman for a rookie. And I know that, I don't know which player we're talking about here, but a couple of years ago, Coach McDermott pulled out one of my favorite quotes from Bill Parcells about Doe putting him in Canton just yet. Do you remember who he was talking about? It wasn't Keon, because it was a couple of years ago. But he basically pulled out that Parcells quote when someone in the media asked him about how well a rookie was doing. And the coach said something, let's not put him in the Hall of Fame yet. We could look up who he was talking about. But Keon Coleman, someone reeled him back in, and his focus improved. And he wasn't doing the look at me stuff. And he became more of a focused young man. When you look at Sauce Gardner, the hype around this player right out of the gate was way out of control with the Jets, and you don't handle young players that way, the same way with Sauce Gardner, and that's something that needs to change. Whoever the next coach is, whoever the next GM is, do not put young players in Canton. I know I used that quote way too much for Parcells, but there was a method to the Big Tuna's madness. You do not hype rookies.
Any guesses which player 3 years ago Sean McDermott was referring to, Dan was talking about.
3 years ago?
3 years ago as a rookie. Starter today on the team.
It was Rousseau?
Spencer Brown.
Oh, Spencer Brown.
Spencer Brown. Don't put him in the Hall of Fame just yet. Sean McDermott, Spencer Brown.
And look how that worked out. He went through some rough times, worked his butt off, a tough kid from Iowa, and look how it turned out.
Yeah.
But when you hype kids, I wonder about all this NIL money in college and the transfer portal, some of the kids coming into league, now their heads are too big because they got paid and they couldn't deal with adversity. They transferred three times. That's the whole point about Sauce Gardner and Garrett Wilson. They're good guys. But do not hype them to the degree that Jets did early on.
Dan, it really doesn't mean much, but I'm just curious here. When the Bills were dysfunctional with Whaley and others, there were leaks in the media. I'm just curious, who do you think put it out there, got the story out there that Woody Johnson wanted to make a change at quarterback after the Denver game? Was it Douglas who was just fired? Was it Robert Salas-Camp? Was it an assistant coach on the team? Do you have any insight on that?
Well, I can't go on the air and say for sure who someone's source is, but those two guys were in the room, and both those guys have a lot of friends in the media. Some of these people in the New York media are now making Robert Saleh into Vince Lombardi. I just don't get it. I don't like anyone to get fired, but he did not do a great job as the Jets head coach. You could say you could blame Woody to a degree in terms of meddling, but like I said, the run defense under Robert Saleh was not good. So, and the hype entering this year with Saleh as the coach about their defense was a little out of whack. So Douglas and Saleh were in the room. If you guys want to go there, you can. I have to be a little more careful than that. But they were two of the guys in that room. But I'll tell you one thing about Woody. He needs to back off. He needs to hire the right people and back off. But let me tell you something else. Rich Cimini had a story that he was the guy that benched a safety named Tony Adams. Tony Adams, someone needed to bench him. He wasn't playing well. So I give Woody credit there because I said earlier in the interview, whether it was Joe Douglas with Robert Saleh or Joe Douglas with Jeff Ulbrich, nobody from that defense was getting benched. So I give Woody, now Woody needs to hire the right people and back off, but Woody, it took Woody to bench a safety who was struggling.
So lack of accountability, basically, is what you're saying. There's just no lack of, no accountability with the head coach and with the GM.
No, because they would say, you know what, they just need to play their technique better. They need to use better mechanics. No, some players are not up to the challenge and need to go. Tony Adams is a backup safety core special team player. He's a good kid, plays hard, but he's not a starting safety. But it took the owner, who is not, you know, exactly Bobby Beathard, to say, get him off the field. Why is that, guys?
Got a tweet here, Dan. Chris writing in, Mike Vrabel for the new Jets head coach. Is that does that fit the bill?
It would if they – see, that's the whole thing in terms of the hiring process with the next GM and the next head coach. They've got to be careful hiring the GM first because if they can get a Vrabel type who would, and give him the kind of power Sean Payton has in Denver, that would make sense. Now, you hire a GM – but he's not making the final call. It's like Belichick in New England, where Belichick had GMs, but Belichick made the final call. So if you want Mike Vrabel, you got to let him have all the power. He could pick his GM.
Yeah.
It would certainly make sense.
At minimum, you follow the Buffalo Bills template. You hire the head coach who everybody was impressed with who didn't really know when he came here, but he brought in his guy. He basically handpicked Brandon Bean from Carolina, and the two of them work well together. And maybe that's the secret formula there when you're talking about hiring your next GM and your next head coach.
Right. Like with Vrabel, the problem at the end for Vrabel in Tennessee was they fired John Robinson as the GM, and then they forced a GM on him, Rand Carthon, who he didn't pick, and they never got along. So if you want Mike Vrabel, you hire him first and let him pick his GM who's going to help him with the player personnel. But if you're going to get a rock star coach like Mike Vrabel, he's going to want final say on the players. As Bill Parcells once said, you got to let him shop for the groceries.
Dan Leberfeld, Jets Confidential. Dan, will you be coming to Western New York for that December 29th game? Who knows how the world looks then?
Well, I will be now. I have another reason to come aside from visiting with you guys and my friends Dave Altman and Dave Jones. And Mike Catalana. I have another reason to come. Joe's Brooklyn Pizza. Wasn't aware of the establishment, but based on the promo before, they have multiple locations.
Yeah, they do, and convenient and delicious as well. And we look forward to seeing you when you come through town. Tell us about Jets Confidential, how we can get more of your work, Dan.
Well, as you know, for a quarter century, Rochester-based Jets Confidential magazine, a must-read for Jet fans. The fans can go to JetsConfidential.com to get a subscription or call 1-800-932-4557 to grab a subscription as well. Makes a great holiday gift, as Gene knows all too well.
Jets Whispers on X. You can follow Dan Leberfeld. Dan, it is always a treat having you on. Thank you so much for the time, buddy.
Always a pleasure to be on with Gene and Reed.
Appreciate you, Dan. Take care, buddy.
You have a good one.
That's Dan Leberfeld.
I knew that was coming.
I'm numb to it now. I get it.
Folks who don't know, like Mike Danger in his profile, regional brand manager. That's your title here at Odyssey.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan just calls me Reach.
Yeah. I don't know. Am I not supposed to put on my byline what I do for a living? Most people do that, don't they?
It seems like that's a little too inside baseball here, so to speak. Your regional brand.
Does he not put editor Jets Whisperer?
I guess.
Maybe I should call him Ed.
Ed.
Thanks, Ed. I don't know. I love Leberfeld. I love that he comes on with us and gives us that insight. And man, if there was something that he said that's going to stick with me, Rodgers is not the problem. Rodgers could come back, should come back next year to be this team's quarterback again.
But who is going to be, that's question number one. Like, who's going to be my quarterback? Okay, like, would Rodgers actually be there while we're going to draft somebody else? I mean, he had to do that, but not by his choice with Jordan Love. I think that's the only way he would do. He would be back for the Jets, almost as a bridge quarterback.
I like the idea of hiring your head coach first and letting your head coach dictate who the GM is going to be. You need somebody that will don't try to arrange a marriage. Let the head coach be the guy who says this needs to be our GM. I think the way the Bills did it, the way they did it with Bean, some people forget. Brandon Bean didn't hire Sean McDermott. It was the other way around. It was Sean McDermott saying, "We need Whaley out of here. Bring in this guy.
We need, and it was Sean McDermott recruiting Brandon Bean, who was the assistant GM at Carolina. Come on up here, buddy.
This is an opportunity. Yeah. They knew each other. They knew they would work well together. They were both on the same page. They've, for the most part, been on the same page the entire time they've worked together. That's what you need. That's why it's kind of surprising when you see San Francisco doing what they're doing. Like, somewhere there between Lynch and Shanahan, there's some kind of hiccup. There's some kind of schism. I don't know what it is, a personality difference or a clash of ego, whatever it is, when you see them kind of struggling the way they are, okay, what's that all about? But the instance of the Bills, I mean, just follow the Bills template. If you're starting over, the Bills were as bad and dysfunctional as you could get at the end of the Rex Ryan era. I mean, Rex didn't show up the last week, right? It was like, oh, well, he's gone.
The Sean McDermott press conference, if you go back in time, it was really, I mean, I would love to go back and listen to the audio today. We're kind of like, yeah, great.
Yeah, yeah, right. We had no idea.
Yeah.
We had no idea. But it was McDermott with Bean that made things start to go. It was McDermott and Bean making the moves immediately that we're all like, oh my God, they're tearing it down. They're trading Watkins. They're moving on from Darby. What's going on here? Like, Stephon Gilmore's not coming back. They're going to let go of
Marcell Darius.
Yeah. Oh my God, what are we doing? Everything worked out, and they had the right mentality, and they had the right partnership. That's the best thing you can hope for if you're the New York Jets.
But what was different about that team compared to this Jet team? I do think there's some young talent on this Jet team.
For sure.
And talking about how these guys are just defeated. Your Sauce Gardner, your Breece Hall,
they're glazed over.
Yeah.
I mean, you're the person you bring in to lead that organization has to have an energy that is infectious, contagious, positive, uplifting. Things are different. I know you've been through hell. Things are different. You have to, I don't know who that guy is. It'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out when the offseason comes. But if it's anybody short of that, I agree with Dan. It can't be a first timer. It can't be a guy that's going to be, I'm going to make my mark. And no. You need a name, somebody that's going to go in there and immediately change the culture and try to reclaim the stars that you have on that roster. Get them re-engaged because they have the dead eyes right now. They've been through hell. And there's a lot of talent there that's just not being used.
Secretly, I want Rex.
Of course.
Because I know it would burn bright for like 2 weeks and then I'll fall apart again.
We've all seen that movie before. Yeah. We're going to take a break and come back. Happy Hour is next in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. That means we have plenty of time for your calls if you want to join us at 866-4326. 585-866-4FAN.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.